Welcome to the Jazzcast, episode 7. My name is Shannon Gunn, and this podcast is dedicated to curated listening sessions by jazz musicians. Today, I have an interview for you with Amy Bormitt, who is a piano player from Washington, D.C., and also the leader of the Washington Women in Jazz Festival. Before I forget, I wanted to let you know that if you'd like to receive an update when I post a new episode, you can sign up for my email list on my website at jazztothebone.com, or you can get updates by following my Facebook page at jazztothebone, or Twitter at jazztothebone, or Google+, or Instagram, all jazztothebone. So this episode was recorded back in November, and so I have a few updates. The music is still totally relevant. It's worth it, trust me. First of all, we're going to get to listen to some of Amy's music that's original, and this is all actually, if you're interested in hearing more of her music, you can find all of this on her SoundCloud account, which is soundcloud.com/Amy-K-Bormitt, and that's B-O-R-M-E-T. So when we recorded this episode, I believe we only had Allison Miller lined, or she only had Allison Miller lined up to perform, so that's all we could really mention at the time. But I also wanted to go ahead and to let everybody know of some of the other amazing artists that are coming into town for the Washington Women in Jazz Festival. The festival is going to be held March 15th through 22nd. It's a whole week in DC, and it's going to feature, I already said, Allison Miller on drums, but also she's bringing in Mary Halverson on guitar, and Carol Morgan on trumpet, Jamie Branch on trumpet, and harpist Brandy Younger as well at the Hills to perform at the Hill Center on the 18th of March. In addition to that, Integrity Reeves is putting on a CD for the festival. Jessica Boykin Settles is presenting on Shirley Horn. The Angelica Sanchez Duo is performing at Bohemian Caverns, and the Bohemian Caverns Jazz Orchestra is performing. Karen Chapdelaine, Sarah Hughes, and Amy Bormitt, as well as Mary Halverson and Allison Miller, are all performing at the Washington Women in Jazz Festival All-Stars event on the 19th. Lee Pilzer is doing a tribute to Melba Liston, and that's with Jen Krupa on trombone. Lee Pilzer is a saxophone player. My big band called Shannon Gunn and the Ballettes is an all-female big band, and we're performing as well, and we'll be putting out a CD at that event. And Isabel De Leon, who's a drummer who won the Young Artist Competition last year, she is performing as well, and she's also going to bring in Melissa Frackman to tap dance along with the group. So those are the artists that are performing, and I just wanted to make sure that I kind of mentioned all of them because everyone's really amazing, and it's just a really wonderful, wonderful event. Also, I wanted to tell you, if you're looking for advertising opportunities, if you have a small business and you want some local, or you're interested in breaking into the Washington, D.C. market, you might consider sponsoring the event. You can either sponsor the entire event, or you could sponsor one particular show. If you sponsor my show, or if you want to talk to me about that, I will be glad to promote your business at my show in front of 500 people, as well as on my podcast and through all of the print media that comes out of the festival. So it's a really good deal. Let me know if you're interested. And if you did want to do that, it's tax deductible now. So if you're interested in that, or if you just want to know more about the festival, you can go to the website, which is WashingtonWomenInJazz.com. I had to look at it really quickly. And I'm also going to go ahead and give out my email. If you're interested in getting a rate sheet, or you want to know more, let me know. Or if you want to know more about the festival, let me know. And my email is jazztothebone@gmail.com. And that's jazztothebone@gmail.com. All right. Well, without further ado, here is Amy Bormitt. I know Amy from having lived in Washington, D.C. for a few years, and so now she's out in L.A., and so this is my first intercontinental jazz interview, and so I'm really, well, I don't know if that's the right word, but I'm really excited to have her on here today. And so, Amy, Tell me a little bit about yourself. Why don't you give us a short introduction?
Sure. Well, I am a jazz pianist and a vocalist, and I'm also a composer and an arranger. And I'm from Washington, D.C. I went to Duke Ellington School of the Arts there and also Howard University. I have spent a lot of time studying with Jerry Allen, who's one of my favorite piano players, and spent a lot of time singing and doing gigs in the D.C. area and sort of up and down the East Coast and also in Michigan where I went to school there. And now I've just moved out to L.A. in a couple of months ago, 2 months ago. So just pursuing some more music and some more music business. And I also run the Washington Women in Jazz Festival, which is going into the fourth year in 2014. So, yeah, that's basically me.
And do you have anything about the Washington Women in Jazz Festival you would like to tell us about?
Sure. This year we've got a ton of events planned that I haven't released the official schedule yet, but you can go on the website, which is washingtonwomeninjazz.com, and also we're on Twitter and Facebook. You can find us there just by searching for Washington Women in Jazz Festival. And, yeah, of course I've got Shannon Gunn and the Bullettes again this year. And we've got Allison Miller coming down again to the Atlas Theater. So it's going to be a great week-long show.
And then you have a young artist competition. You can go ahead and promote that. Cause,
sure, you know, yeah. My young artist competition, this year I decided to do women 25 and under. Before I did 21, but now I wanted to expand it so that college students could all apply. So it's open to high school and undergraduate college students who are women playing jazz who are from the D.C. area. So we've had a really great time doing that. I did it the last couple of years, and all of the women that have been involved have, you know, got a chance to network and interact and play for each other. So it's going to be really great. And this year it's sponsored by Levine School of Music, so we're going to actually be at Levine and
Awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool. And they're giving out a gift certificate to the winner so that they could take lessons there or go to concerts there. So it's going to be a really cool partnership, and I think it's definitely growing as a contest. So I hope to have a lot of people apply this year.
Awesome. And then, how does somebody apply for that again?
Sure. It's on the website, washingtonwomeninjazz.com, and I have a form on there that they can fill out and submit, and they basically put, you know, some information about themselves and where, you know, who their teacher is, their music teacher, and, you know, who their favorite jazz musician is, and then they submit either YouTube videos or SoundCloud, something online, of two contrasting pieces. So normally one sort of straight ahead jazz number and then a contrasting number. So people have submitted ballads and, you know, more Latin music or whatever, anything. So.
Awesome. Okay. Very cool. Well, I wanted to, you know, try to get that in there a little bit.
Definitely.
And promote that, because I really think that's a great idea. I'm really thankful for what you're doing with the Washington Women in Jazz Festival. And I think it's really fantastic that you, you know, pull people together, and you really do a great job with that. So.
Yeah. I think the DC area was totally primed for it. So, you know, I feel like what you're doing with the Bullets and what Brad Lindy's doing over at the Atlas, and also Brad and Joe Herrera with the Bohemian Caverns Jazz Orchestra, there's sort of been a renaissance the last 5 years of people trying new projects. So I've managed to sort of include all of my favorite things in the festival. So it's something I'm very proud of.
Very cool. So what have you been up to lately? What have you been listening to, or any interesting projects that you've been working on?
Well, I'm in LA, so I've been actually listening to a lot of pop music. And,
awesome.
Yeah, going to see a lot of soul bands, R&B bands out here. So that's been really cool. I don't know. I wrote some new pop songs that have been a lot of fun playing them. I haven't had a chance to play them out yet, but I've been doing some recording and trying to get them together. And so hopefully I'll be able to do that in the future. And I, what else? I've been seeing a lot of classical music. I have some friends out here from University of Michigan where I went to undergrad, and they're all classical musicians. So I've been hanging out with them and going to a lot of their shows. And that sort of inspired me. I finished up a string quartet, a three-movement string quartet, So hopefully I'll get that played in the next couple of months. And yeah, just working on the festival and trying to meet people and play as much music as I can.
Awesome. So tell me, I didn't even know you wrote string quartets or classical music. So give me a little background on, you know, why and who's playing and what's going on with that.
Yeah, well, I started writing for strings when I was, I don't know, when I was 20. I started writing arrangements of my songs and jazz standards and with strings in the background. So, and obviously quartet is the most standard of formation. So I did some of that when I was in undergrad. And then I sort of put it off because when I was at Howard University, they don't have too many string players and there's no orchestra, so I didn't do any of that there. But I, you know, I've always had a love for strings and for orchestrating and arranging, and so I just kind of got back into it, and now I've been writing my own music, not just arrangements of songs that I've written, but just very new music, really, just mm-hmm. of, you know, inspired by the actual instruments and the, you know, the way they sound, as opposed to just arrangements of songs. So, yeah.
Awesome. Very cool.
Thanks.
So, do you have any tracks that you'd like us to listen to?
Sure. This is a track that I think you're on, which is Bohemian Caverns Jazz Orchestra playing Bailout.
Thank you. thank you very much. That was really cool. I had not heard that before. I'm on it, but I didn't even know that we had it recorded. So when was that recorded and where?
I think that was I'm not really sure. I know Brad had it. I used it to apply for a couple of different competitions that I didn't win, but I still really, really liked the recording, even with all the somewhat subtle mistakes. I think it's pretty fun. I don't know when that was recorded. I think it might have been at the Atlas. I don't know. It's a mystery to me.
Yeah, because I was wondering if maybe I had done it, but then I thought, well, maybe it would sound a lot more cavernous if I had done it, because I only recorded them in their caverns. And then the thing is though, that the trumpets didn't sound like they were mic'd. So I was just kind of like, when was that? I don't remember. But I think that's a fantastic performance of it. I think that's a great, you know, recording of that song. And it's really, really great to be able to get that out there, because that's a really fantastic song. And
well, thanks,
it just has a lot of meaning. Well, tell me more about it. So what was your inspiration, or does the word bailout have any meaning to the song, or was it about?
Yeah, I that song sort of came from a dystopian place of slight anger, if you will. But
okay,
I wrote that really thinking about the economic situation of being a musician, and really anywhere, but especially in the U.S. I think it's a struggle for all of us to remain on our feet and to continue doing what we want to do, because so many people don't want to pay for music. They expect musicians to put in their effort, and lots of, you know, any artist to put in their effort for free, mm-hmm. just because, you know, you like it and you can't do anything else. Or you don't want to do anything else, you know? So I think that sort of came out of a frustration, and I was contemplating, you know, my future as a musician, and it got kind of weird and sci-fi and dark. So I took it there, and sometimes you just, you know, you got to use your emotional background to make something happen.
Interesting. So it wasn't anything to do with the government bailout of the
oh no, definitely. The banks definitely. Or whatever. Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, you see people everybody else getting bailed out, and yet we can't afford to keep any individual artist grants alive with the NEA, and you know, there's several political issues, but you know, it was a much more personal thing, me sort of waiting for checks to come in and spending every day calling people, asking them if they mailed my check yet. And, you know, just a lot of frustration.
It's tough sometimes. I mean, it's really hard getting some, and I really appreciate, you know, certain venues, because, you know, they take care of things, and then, you know, so anyway.
Yeah, definitely some are better than others.
And I don't want to knock any venues for that.
There'll be no hating
not
on the podcast.
In the DC area. So who was on bass? Do you know who was on bass on that? Was that Elliot?
Yeah, that's Elliot, and I think it was Elliot and Larry and Rodney playing guitar.
Oh, okay, awesome. So that's probably from the Atlas then.
Yeah, I think so. That's where I think it's from. So Brad gave it to me. He would know.
Oh, and for those who are listening, okay, so Elliot Seppa on bass, Rodney Richardson on the guitar, and you said Larry Ferguson on drums, and then yourself, and then was that Sarah Hughes on the alto saxophone?
I think that was Brent.
Brent Burkhead?
Yeah. But you know, okay. I would have to listen back to it and make sure that's right. But yeah, I think so.
I don't remember what solo that was, if it was a first alto. I've played that with my band too, and I can't remember off the top of my head who would have had that solo. So
yeah, I bumped it around too. I think there's been several arrangements of that song.
Several arrangements, right. Well, I always feel bad because, you know, I was supposed to record that with my band and then I forgot to press record. So I will always owe you something for that, because it was a really good performance when we did that.
I know, and the alliteration of bullets and bailout would have been really nice. But, you know, what are you going to do?
All right. Well, do you have any other tracks or any other songs that you'd like us to listen to?
Sure. I've got the recording from the Atlas Performing Arts Center, and that was in March of 2012, which was the second Washington Women in Jazz Festival. And we were lucky enough to have the incredible drummer Allison Miller come and join the Washington Women in Jazz Festival All-Stars, which at the time was Melissa Gardner on trombone and Sarah Hughes on alto sax, and I think she's playing soprano on the recording, and Lee Pilzer is playing some bari sax, and then Karen Chapdelaine is on the bass, and I'm on the piano. And this is a composition I wrote called Day to Day, and I wrote this for a friend of mine who had some traumatic brain injury, and he sort of has been dealing with that for a couple of years now. And I wrote this for him sort of to, I don't know, this feeling of monotony, but also hope and, a promise of things that are hopefully gonna just keep getting better. So I wrote this for him.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That's awesome.
Thanks.
I was there when it was played, but it's nice to review. I didn't realize it was up on SoundCloud, so.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Well, thank you.
So you can, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was really happy with how it came out. I think that was one of the first times I heard Sarah play soprano, and that blew me away. And then to have, you know, such an amazing cast of characters there. I love all those women, and Allison Miller was so incredible to play with and just be around, so I'm really excited she's going to be back this this March, so looking forward to that.
Yeah, was Lee Peltzer on Barry, or was there a bass clarinet? It almost sounded like a bass clarinet in that.
Yeah, no, she's just really good at Barry. It was a Barry.
But it just sounded cool with the trombone then. I guess that must have been...
Yeah, mellowed it out.
Timbre.
Yeah, it's a nice combo.
Cool. Well, beautiful. Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Sure, of course.
So as I wrap this up, do you have any other comments or any other ideas that you would like to get across to the audience as we listen?
No, I mean, I would just encourage people to, you know, be on the mailing list for the Washington Women in Jazz Festival so they can get the full schedule when that comes out later this month. And, I just hope that people can continue to support women in jazz in D.C. And just the music scene in general in D.C. I think it's so important to recognize how many people love coming out to shows and how wonderful our audience is. And what a special place that is in terms of live music, and especially jazz on the East Coast and in the whole U.S. So,
well, awesome! Thank you so much for allowing me to interview you. And once again, that website is WashingtonWomenInJazz.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you have your email sign up list on there, right?
Yeah, we have an email newsletter you can sign up for. So.
Okay. I just got an email newsletter from you, so you know that it's an active and it's working, so that's great.
It exists.
I just want to go ahead and let's get it out there. Let's let people know, you know, we have some really amazing talent in this town, and then you're bringing in talent as well. So thank you so much for your time and for your jazz promotion and for all that you're doing with jazz.
Well, yeah, thanks for having me on your podcast, Shannon. This is great.
Okay, well, thank you for listening to the JazzCast Episode 7. And I just wanted to let you know that all of the links of all the artists that we talked about are available on my website at jazztothebone.com. And I really appreciate seeing all the downloads and all of the positive community that is developing out of this. So thank you, and hopefully I'll see you next week.